podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
I don't think it's impossible that I might use 10 between now and the international break.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello everybody, welcome to Planet Sky FF, the world where everything revolves around £50,000. My name's Sitch.
And my name is James.
Welcome back to the show, sir. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, boss. May I give a big personal shout out and thanks for Gary Robinson for standing in at 2.5 minutes notice last week. He did a very good job.
Approximately, yeah.
No,
it
fair
was
game to him.
A bit rushed because that's when, obviously, you weren't at your peak at all.
At my peak? I thought I was going to die.
I'll be honest with you, like I was, I'm more engaged with Sky than I am with FPL for sure, even though I'm still not doing very well this year. Yet I'm more worried about the Sky pod than I was about the FPL pod. I feel like FPL, you're generally working week to week with one or two decisions that you're making. And you might have a strategy of 4 or 5 weeks out, but the most number of decisions in your head is like a handful, really. Whereas with Sky, you could be juggling daisy chains. You've got fixture swings coming up. You've got new announcements of fixtures. There's so much more going on. Plus, obviously, tier points and this, that, and the other. I was more worried about doing the Sky pod without you than the FPL pod, even though I enjoy playing Sky more. Having said that, you know, it was a rubbish week, mate.
it's the planning brain. You're like, oh, shit, are we going to be all right without the planning brain? At least you didn't have an April TV fixtures drop just in time last week, which we've been fortunate with on this occasion.
It's very true. And I haven't had a chance since they dropped to have a look at them. So I'm looking forward to some insight. I'm going to be honest with you, James, and I'm setting my own milestones, but my season is pretty much done. I'm at 6,255. So I've fallen back. The last 3 to 4 weeks of no Arsenal has been, there's a scene in James Bond, the poker one with Daniel Craig, where the guy is sitting on a chair and he's got that thing and he swings it to smack him in the balls or whatever that form of torture is. That's what not owning Arsenal players in Sky has felt like for the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I've only had Saliba, so I mean,
you've managed to get around it with the likes of Pascal Gross has actually kind of, I wouldn't say matched him, but he's covered it off. Even like Van Heck's been so good for me. Lewis Dunk's popped up with a couple of goals in the last few as well, which kind of counteracts that a little bit. I feel like you've maybe missed a couple of the big ones, but still got away with it because of other players that you've had.
No, this will be me saying for the first time that I can't finish first now. The dream is over. I think I can still have a good finish. But
how many points this week then?
78.
Okay, still decent. I've only got 60.
I'd obviously had a real jump after that Adebayo hat-trick, which had edged me into the top 200. I'm back down to 449th, mate, and that's primarily on, I don't even necessarily want to say wrong decisions, but I've not hit the captaincies, the transfers that I've made recently. Braithwaite last Monday admittedly scored at the weekend. So
yeah, I was going to say, it kind of counteracted
a little bit, but I'd have preferred the 14 points against Palace rather than the 9 points at the weekend. But I think properly killed off with Sunday and Monday. And I know not that many had Jared Bowen, but enough to, I think, kill off, because I think you needed that, right? He went into a third of teams.
Own on the night, he was probably the standout go-to, right? Some may have wanted to go to Tony, but he's got tough fixtures after that.
To know, a lot of the guys were saying on our Slack before the game that Tony was the one they really wanted. And ironically, a few ended up with Bowen because they knew, I'd spoken about this previously, that Tony was going to block off Solanke, Haaland,
well,
Watkins
is it, right?
As
yeah,
a front three.
Well, that's your front three in any format of fantasy that you want. And you've only got three striker slots, which is why I thought Bowen was the stand out for a lot of people, and then people like you and me who own Areola or whatever
he'd literally
stomach it. But 23 points, beautiful.
This is why, obviously, the captaincy is so important in this game, right? So if you remember on overhaul with Jared Bowen, he was doubtful going into the Sheffield United game, which was the second weekend of the split after overhaul. So most of us didn't go there. I ended up with Areola, for example, who hasn't kept a clean sheet since. Bowen's returns prior to Brentford, 2-1-2-2-2. 9 points across five. But if you captained him Monday, you can add 46 to that. And then suddenly you're looking at 55 rather than six. Averaging at less than 2 points per game. He's now on 55 nine. Points over six, from six right? and nine he's over game. Nine per game. Yeah,
it's incredible.
So if you incredible. Hit it, it's so yeah. big, isn't it?
Yeah, massive. I ended up with 60 points. Areola, like you, doubled up on the Monday. My only defender that played was Van Heck. Romero and Van Dijk didn't have a fixture. Palmer didn't have a fixture. De Bruyne, out of Pep's choice, didn't have a fixture. Rodri, Foden did okay. Haaland, captain, and Watkins. But obviously, Haaland, captain, Foden and Watkins outscored him. And I sold Jota for Hwang on Sunday. Again, no returns there.
Went Hwang, yeah. I actually left Branthwaite in. I sold KDB instead. The reason I sold KDB wasn't, I want to keep Branthwaite. It was making sure I had the right path for Solanke on Sunday. And I knew if I sold Branthwaite, the ideal move for me on Sunday would have been Van Dijk to Solanke, which I wouldn't have been able to do because I'd only have two defenders. So that's why I decided to take KDB out, because I think that he'll play against Manchester United on Sunday. So it was never a want to move. But the irony around that, of course, full circle is everyone was going to go and buy Dominic Solanke on Sunday. And right now we don't know if we are or we're not. Because he obviously missed the game against Leicester last night. And he's having an MRI scan on a knee injury. Iriola did say after the game last night that he hopes he'd be able to play at the weekend. Obviously, one benefit is, look, we'll obviously see the team on Sunday, but alternative plans potentially need to be made. I am fairly certain where he picked up that injury as well was actually right at the end of the first half against City on Saturday, where he had a tussle, I think, with Kovacic, and he overstretched and he kind of jolted himself in the ground a bit. He obviously carried on and played the rest of the game, but sometimes adrenaline, and then when you stop and swelling starts and all that sort of thing. So he could end up being out for this brilliant period, and he was going to get bought by everybody, I think, in this format and other fantasy formats as well. So
yeah,
we need to consider alternatives.
I don't wish injury on any player, but I'm kind of glad.
I know what
because
you're saying.
It means everyone's got to do something different and saying, mix it up a little bit, and it adds a little bit more variety into the game. So yeah, I'm fairly happy. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out now. So let's talk about your plans for the upcoming weeks. We've now got the April TV fixtures. I'm about to open your
half of them.
I love that you've not even looked at this yet.
Great.
As we alluded to the fact that they would possibly release them in stages anyway, which they do. But yeah, they came out yesterday, mate. So, you know, not had a chance yet. Tell me, what have we learned?
Well, here's the headline.
West Ham are continuing to play at 2 p.m. on Sundays.
No. You might do for one of the games, but the other two you won't.
Yeah.
Here's the headline on this for the April fixtures. And we've got the first three match weeks. So that's the mid. We obviously already had the first weekend after the international break. We've now got the midweek after and the two weekends after that, taking us up to Monday the 15th of April. The headline on April and that first weekend back now is, I think we've got requirement for four teams only across all four of those weekends. Those four teams are Tottenham, Chelsea, Liverpool and Manchester City. That's not to say you should have 11 players from those four teams, but that is, in my opinion, the only requirements. I think in terms of alternatives to captaincy from those four teams over the four match weeks would only be Tuesday the 2nd. You could have a debate, not Tottenham, and you might want to look at West Ham, Newcastle or Wolves as alternatives we'll touch on. And I think the next night, Wednesday the 3rd, City have Villa at home Arsenal have Luton at home. So a little bit of a debate. Otherwise, City, Liverpool, Chelsea, Tottenham will basically cover you captaincy through all of that opening period that we've got. Then it will flip again, right? Because there's a possibility on the next weekend afterwards, it's possible that none of those teams play that weekend because of the FA Cup semi-finals. And other than Chelsea against Newcastle on Monday the 11th of March, after Sunday, we don't actually have any requirement, arguably, for City, Liverpool, Chelsea. For Tottenham, we will. I think probably Tottenham against Fulham assets. Saturday the 16th will obviously be popular. There's an obvious entry point against Villa the Sunday before. These April TV fixtures have fallen as follows. So Tuesday, April the 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
Remember these midweek fixtures, we see the teams for all of the games, but it is staggered 7:30 and 8:15 PM kickoffs. So it'll be 7:30 deadlines every night. Tuesday the 2nd, Tottenham go to West Ham. That's an 8:15 kickoff. The alternatives for captaincy that night, I think, Newcastle at home to Everton or Wolves at Burnley. If you've hung on to your Huang or your Neto and you, oh shit, I really want to make up my points. And do you know what? If Wolves lose tonight against Bournemouth, against Brighton in the Cup and play Bournemouth on FA Cup Court Final weekend, there is a case to be holding up to that Burnley game, I think. That might not feel in quite the same if obviously Wolves win this evening. They are marginal favourites in that tie against Brighton tonight. So Tuesday the 2nd.
Because he's at home.
Yeah, marginal favourites. Matoma, we think, is out for the season.
The season, I heard, yeah. That West Ham Tottenham game on the 2nd. I'm leaving the country on the 4th to go to Portugal over Easter. I might need to leave early, mate. I might see if I can get out of the country on the 2nd. I hate it being here on that day. Ugh.
You know where I'll be.
I'll be in Portugal wearing my colours with pride every single day. Why are you still wearing your West Ham shirt?
I'll be at Westfield Shopping Centre that evening.
Are you going? Are you?
Yeah, of course I will. I booked train tickets to Newcastle this morning for a couple of weekends afterwards because I love the punishment, as you all know. So that evening, Tuesday the 2nd is quite open. Wednesday the 3rd, as I said, City at home to Villa, Arsenal at home to Luton, Brighton are at Brentford on Wednesday the 3rd of April. So
it's got Arsenal, surely.
That's a rare occasion where it's a City home game and there's a debate to be had whether you want to go something else, possibly, but still robot be hard to argue against. Thursday the 4th is clear as day. Liverpool and the Sheffield United. The other game is Chelsea against Manchester United at Stamford Bridge, but it's a Liverpool player, and let's be honest, it's the Thursday night, so if you don't have anything, you'll see the team, you'll buy what you want that night, but it will probably be Mo, won't it?
If the Liverpool-Everton game doesn't happen in the quarterfinal weekend of the FA Cup, are you quite comfortable coming off Liverpool, skipping the City and Brighton games and then coming back to them for Sheffield United?
Not necessarily the Brighton game, no.
Because Arsenal will give you a 5-2 on that. If the Chelsea game happens. Sorry.
Yeah, it's all ifs, buts and maybes. And then one of them Arsenal, so much it's is probably a 4-2. And one of them Arsenal games is Manchester City away as well, isn't it? So
yeah. How
much of a gain is that? There'll be lots of other teams with bigger games. Tottenham, Villa, West Ham, for example.
Bournemouth, Sheffield United at home, Luton at home, Everton at home, Palace at home. Like four home fixtures.
And then Luton away.
Period. Yeah.
So this is why Solanke was a certainty.
Yeah.
Because those seven fixtures are great. You could barely ask for better than that over a seven-game period.
Where's Kiefer Moore when you need him? They've loaned him out, haven't they? Or they sold him
or something,
didn't they?
He went to Ipswich on loan. And the new guy they've bought, Unes Emel, who played up front last night, he may also have an injury, by the way, as well. So we might suddenly be looking at 6.6 million midfielder Antoine Semenyo, OOP, up front, which could be an interesting one when the teams drop on Sunday, maybe to go into. Where was I? Thursday the 4th, Liverpool, certainty. I would probably go back for something such the Sunday before when they play Brighton.
Right.
Because I'd probably favour captain a Liverpool player rather than a City or Arsenal player playing each other. So I probably would go one earlier. But I've just got Van Dijk.
Yeah, and it's at Anfield, which is fortress at the moment.
Just got Van Dijk, and as a he's going this week. So there's too much going on in between. The one game I'm going to miss is Manchester City at home. as well. Mm-hmm. So Liverpool assets for me are a sell this weekend. The following weekend, Saturday the 6th, we have 7 games. The early kickoff is Manchester City away to Crystal Palace. So seeing the City team there, I think, is probably enough. Arsenal were at Brighton. That's the evening kickoff that day. Villa at home to Brentford as another possible alternative. But I think seeing the City team away to Palace is enough to say it will be a City player that day. Sunday the 7th, it'll be an earlier deadline that day, 1:30 p.m. Sheffield United against Chelsea, which is not a TV selection game. That's moved.
Is that because they've made United Liverpool an earlier kickoff as well?
Yeah, police have said 3:30 kickoff. Yeah, so
okay, understood.
That's why that's earlier. And obviously, bear in mind as well, deadline this coming Sunday is earlier as well. It's 1 o'clock this Sunday for Burnley against Bournemouth. So Sunday the 7th, you've got Manchester United against Liverpool, Chelsea at Sheffield United. Carl Palmer, move on, I think.
Agreed,
Monday the 8th, single game day, Tottenham at home to Nottingham Forest. So Tottenham's going to be, you're definitely going to want some Tottenham from, I think, Aston Villa away next Sunday to carry you through. Then there's a case where you can come off for a couple of games and then go back again, or obviously hold through, but it'll obviously be a Tottenham player that night. Saturday the 13th, we have a number of choices. Manchester City are at home to Luton. Arsenal and Aston Villa is currently scheduled for the 5:30 p.m. kickoff. That could move. I'll come back onto that. Newcastle and Tottenham is the 12:30 kickoff. Brentford are at Sheffield United, for those who perhaps hold Tony a little bit longer. But the way it's going at the moment, the chances are we will have a very good indication of if a Haaland is going to play against Luton that day because of what's happening prior to the FPL deadlines. There's every reason to think we'll know, right? So I think City at home to Luton, Saturday the 13th. Sunday the 14th, there are 2 games scheduled at the moment. Those games are Manchester United away to Bournemouth, Liverpool at home to Crystal Palace. Liverpool Palace is the Sunday 2 o'clock kickoff. So you get to see the Liverpool team. He's going to be a Liverpool player. And then you've also got single game day, Monday the 15th of April, Chelsea against Everton. Cole Palmer again, I think. So there's a couple of Palmer captaincies in there. And to be honest, the first day back after the March international break, they've got Burnley at home on that Saturday. And I think you could make a strong case for Palmer for that. At home to Burnley against, say, perhaps a Tottenham player at home to Luton. With City, Arsenal, Liverpool playing on the Sunday. Ollie Watkins has got Wolves at home. But I think that would probably be Palmer or a Tottenham player on that first day back after the international break.
Yeah, well, that's what I said. Do you fancy a Romero passing tiers in that game? Luton are an aggressive pressing team.
The passing tiers against Luton have gone massively off the boil. I see Haaland was in bad form last night, by the way. People have been giving him stick. He's so out of form.
We digress sometimes on this podcast, don't we? I just got into bed just after 10, and I don't talk to my wife about football at all, James.
I don't talk to my wife at all.
Nah. Well, so it's, looked at my phone, looked at the scores, said, Haaland scored 5 tonight then. And she turns around and she goes, oh, that's nice. Is that West Ham? I was like, in my dreams, love. Absolute dreams.
You know, KDB assisted the first 4 as well.
Well, that's it. The first 6 goals, 1 goal scorer, 1 assister.
Yeah, Ross Barkley assisted 2 for Jordan Clark as
incredible
well.
Incredible stat. 6 goals, just 2 goal scorers, same goal scorer, same assister for both teams. But my dreams did include Erling Haaland in a West Ham shirt.
Yeah, dream on, pal. Like your dreams, they fade and die, may I suggest.
I woke up in sweat.
Look, it's a few weeks away. We don't have to decide that now. But I think, no, Palmer at home to Burnley. So I think Palmer would have 4 captaincies out of 6, starting with the Newcastle home game on Monday the 11th. So for me, even though, as it stands, they wouldn't play Arsenal on Saturday the 16th, and you're not that fussed about that anyway.
That's why I've left him in.
You'd have to get him back on Monday the 11th for his price point, and then he's there ready for the Burnley game which it's not an entry point, right? So
I mean, with the blank, he was a potential make weight for Hwang for me, but I decided, look, Jota's out definitely, whereas Palmer might still be useful to me a bit further down the road. So left Palmer in there. I can't see myself selling him now, particularly with that single game day that I need him for, and that's what he was there for, really. It wouldn't surprise me as well if that Arsenal game's on, you know. There's something in my bones makes me feel
I wouldn't be surprised if Everton Liverpool's on either.
Yeah, there's just something in my bones that makes me feel like we've got a couple more fixtures to be added for that week.
Which that might change a few plans as well, particularly if Liverpool get beat tonight. I mean, they're going to play a very weakened team against Southampton, who admittedly have gone off the boil very recently. But obviously, if it's Liverpool win tonight, then we now know that West Ham Villa will be a single game day, Sunday the 17th of March. If not, then obviously Everton-Liverpool will be that day as well. You will see the team lineup for all four teams that day as well, because Brighton City was meant to be the 4:30. That's obviously now off after City's win last night. We've obviously also lost Crystal Palace and Newcastle from that weekend as well, which, I think it's definitely go back to Palmer Monday the 11th of March. That said, on Newcastle, one interesting thing about them is that's your only entry point. Their first four fixtures after the March international break, they're always first. And as I've said on some of the FPL pods, their running is pretty good. And those four fixtures are West Ham at home, Everton at home, Fulham away and Tottenham at home. So I know they're out of quite a bit of form at the moment, but it's not impossible that Pope might be back by then. And if he is, that will be transformative, I think, for them.
Yeah.
So wouldn't be the worst idea to consider a Newcastle player, maybe Monday 11th as well. I think, Suj, I'm on 23 transfers left. Don't think it's impossible that I might use 10 between now and the international break over the next two weekends. I don't think it will be that high, but I don't think it's impossible. I know I want to get Solanke Sunday if he's fit. It might be that I wait on Bournemouth if he's not. But Neto will be under consideration. I could obviously go Areola to Neto on Sunday. Neto's got double the bonus points of Solanke this year in Sky Fantasy. The outright for Bournemouth bonus points by a long, long way. Neil Grover, our Bournemouth correspondent, had stressed to us last week that there had been murmurs that he might lose his place. But he played all right against City at the weekend, and I don't think it's a concern in the immediate. But should he make a big mistake at some point, he's not a certainty. But I still think he'll be very, very popular in this. I obviously want to invest in more Arsenal on Monday night. And if Chelsea lose tonight, I've only got Saliba at the moment. It's not beyond reason that I go and buy four Arsenal on Monday night.
Yeah, I'm going to steam in on Monday, mate. Steam in.
I think if the Arsenal... I won't go that hard if the Arsenal-Chelsea game doesn't happen, because it's Sheffield United-Brentford, and then it's a long way till they play City, where there's other teams are going to play three times in the middle, and I can re-enter the Luton game the Wednesday afterwards as well. So I don't want to go too hard because I know I need to come back off. But if the Chelsea game's on, yeah, I can see me Monday night going like Gabriel, Wyatt, Odegaard, Saka. Just steaming into it. And then the following weekend, there's entry points on Sunday the 10th for West Ham, which didn't look interesting last week, but I think Jarrod Bowen does look interesting again. And that Sunday the 10th is kind of wide open from a captaincy perspective. He's got Burnley at home. Villa Tottenham play each other, which isn't brilliantly ideal, but you're going to want pieces of it, I think particularly of Tottenham, because of the Saturday fixture against Fulham. Villa, you might want to wait the extra week, because the West Ham game's on the Sunday the following week. As we said, it could be a single game day. And obviously, if I haven't gone for Solanke this week, then I'm going to definitely get something for the Luton single game day.
Yeah.
And obviously, on the Monday in between, it's get Cole Palmer back as well. So I'd said for a while that I thought this period around the FA Cup quarterfinals would be the biggest in terms of the gains you can get. Part of that as well is the difficult fixtures, right? City having to play Liverpool and Arsenal over this period as well. That is a case to bin all of that, whatever you've got of City to Arsenal on Monday night. It might be that I'd leave one like Haaland hanging about and just go, fine, it stays, it's there. But yeah, I could end up going really heavy here. quite possibly. Yeah, I'll know more after tonight once I can project.
That's it, isn't it?
What the midweek will look like in the weekend after and later April as well.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed, James. I'm with you on that. I'm adding a complication into the next 4 weeks, match weeks as well. Being that I'm 6,245th or whatever I may be, and I haven't set up my second team at all season. I'm going to try and win manager of the month for March. And I know
it doesn't
it's a fictional,
exist anymore. I
imaginary
keep
thing. I know it's there's no prize. I know it's my own little trophy that I'm making for myself, like your Aldi Cup or whatever you lot have. But I'm going to do it anyway because fantasy needs to be fun. So I'm going to be using my second team to smash through March and see if I can at least maneuver it in the short.
Which day do you think
format.
You'll forget first? I'm going to go for March the 2nd.
Ha! No, I'm going to be set up for March the 2nd. I'm going to go with the 4th, the Monday.
Can't be missing that, mate. It's ridiculous.
Nah, exactly. I mean, the question is, do I set up with Arsenal or do I move from players to Arsenal? But let's see. Let's talk about captaincy, James, for this last remaining weekend of March. Are you going Ollie Watkins away at Luton on Saturday?
Yeah, I think that's the plan.
Don't fancy
obviously,
Liverpool.
He's at Luton. You've got Liverpool at Forest. There's Tottenham assets if you've got a home to Palace. For me, it's basically Watkins versus Van Dijk. And I think just with their situation and injuries at the moment, it's Watkins at Luton. I think, you know, they've conceded 5 to Haaland last night as well. And I realise the cup game are probably a bit more open. But yeah, I think
it was
Watkins,
6 in total, wasn't it?
Watkins Saturday for me, yeah.
Yeah. I'm with you. I'll probably be going Watkins as well. I do have Romero as well as a potential. So
he'll certainly hit Parsonage as nearly a certainty.
Yeah, but Palace just scored three against 10-man Burnley, but there's goals in that Palace team. So I think Ollie Watkins is a clear standout for that.
Another one, if they've still got, that might be worth considering is obviously Cole Palmer at Brentford, who didn't look good. They haven't. Most of the time I've watched them over the last couple of months have not looked good defensively at all, making a lot of individual errors.
Yeah.
Ethan Pinnock is a big miss for them as well at the moment. Mm. So Palmer could be considered for those who've got as well.
I don't own anyone from Bournemouth Burnley on the Sunday, so it's going to be out of the Manchester clubs, and I only own City, and it'll be the robot.
Yeah, I wouldn't captain Solanke anyway in that one, even if he's available. If he's in the team, he's getting bought, no question. I won't leave it because he's got Sheffield United the next weekend as well. He's getting bought, definitely, if he's in that team. If he's not, I have a decision to make, like I said, Areola to Neto. And I'm aware that I'm not really making the gain as such because West Ham obviously play Villa the weekend later. So it might be I'll start looking
as it stands, you're not making a gain. You could be making a gain because
I could.
Wolves could lose.
Yes, but then it's not huge. What I mean is it wouldn't be like the gain from, say, if Everton don't play Branthwaite to Senesi. Senesi is a problem because he's on 8 yellows, right? And I think if you go for a Bournemouth player, because the fixture's after the break, you probably do want to hold it a little bit more. I did have a look at the tier points on FF stuff. So as I said, Neto's 42 points this season. So he's saved tier kind of 2 in every 3, basically. Solanke, 21 bonus points or tier points this season. Senesi's 20. Mm. It's only one less. He's 6.9. Ilya Zabarnyi, who's 6.6, 12 tier points, a little bit less. It's worth saying Senesi, it's the bit that makes him more, he's on tackle tiers rather than passing tiers. They've only got 7 points between them, passing tiers. But there could be a few in some of these, right? Like we've laughed every week about Sheffield United's passing numbers and stuff. Even like a few of the Wolves guys hit the tier at the weekend. Semenyo, like I said, might be one that comes back round as interesting. 6.6. Do I want to go into Marcus Tavernier at 7.2? It almost makes me think that if Solanke's not in the team, leave it, stop, maybe come back on the Wednesday night when they play Luton and just make a decision then to have something for the night and then to carry for a few weeks afterwards. It might be like by that point, Senesai's not got booked in the next two. And I think, okay, this feels a little bit safer now, maybe, for example. Yeah. But in terms of captaincy, yeah, Haaland, no doubt. He's got, what is it, five goals in his three games? Or is it six goals? Seven goals? He's got
a lot of goals in very few
Manchester
games.
United. No, I think he's got five in three, I think, against Manchester United, which includes a hat-trick in this fixture last season as well. No Martinez, no Shaw, no Hoyland for United at the other end. Possibly no Maguire maybe at the weekend is a rumour as well. Haaland, I mean, to be fair anyway, Maguire against Haaland. Yeah, okay, we're good, you know. I think Harry Maguire's done all right this season, but yeah, Haaland for me, Sunday. City home game, you know me, I don't like to argue.
Arsenal, I only own Saliba. This is Arsenal Sheffield United on the Monday night, but it's very team sheet dependent, really. And also Chelsea dependent. If the Chelsea game's on on the 16th, I'll probably steam into more Arsenal. If that game's off, then I might be a little bit more conservative about what I go to. Saka's almost definite for me, and he's the likelier to be the armband.
Yeah.
Whether or not I then add Declan Rice, maybe, or Odegaard, or Gabriel.
Declan Rice, yeah. Rice instead of Ben White for me, yeah.
Yeah.
By the way.
I think, right, because it's budget dependent, right? Do I want to stretch up to the likes of what Odegaard, Martinelli cost, or am I happy to just put Rice in there as an 8 million holder? 8.1, I think he is, isn't he? Or 8.2, something like that. So, yeah. And, yeah, so there's two or three that are definite considerations there. I'll definitely be adding Saka and maybe AM other.
Yeah, Saka will definitely go in for me. I think probably Gabriel as well. I might leave it at that. Because I just know that it's the two games and then I want to come back off again. So whatever I go into, I'd really need it to do well. Now, I'd look at Gabriel at the moment. I think we'll get 10 points against Sheffield United. So it's going to be worth it.
Yeah.
Saka, I think, is the right captaincy choice, despite real confidence in a clean sheet and passing tiers. And Sheffield United are crap from set pieces, and Arsenal are very good from set pieces. But still, I think Saka's the one that's got the Jared Bowen Monday night capability.
The 23-pointer vibes about him, for sure. Yeah, could really go off. And penalties, if for what it's worth.
Unless he decides to give them to one of his mates, which he might do in a fixture, Lada.
Listen, whenever Piquet is on the pitch, you can't trust that guy. He'll try and hog the ball for penalties at any opportunity he gets. So, yes, you're right. It might
What's
not
Paqueta
always
got to do with it?
Because he nicks the ball.
What's that got to do with Saka?
No, as in Bowen. You're saying Saka's going to give the ball away. Bowen was going to give the ball away.
What are you talking about, lad?
No, I thought you were saying Bowen was going to give the ball away if he got a pen. Tier points from the weekend, as per FF stuff. You want to rattle through some of them?
Yeah, shall do. Just before I go for the weekend, just cover off last Wednesday as well and the Liverpool-Luton game, which included no passing tiers for any Liverpool player. This is what we said. It's on the down against Luton massively. I think... I want to say no players hit a passing tier against Luton, I think, since mid-December. I think. Virgil van Dijk, 59. One short. But obviously did get a goal and the two shots on target as well for shots here, which obviously rewarded a lot of captains last week. Diaz, Gakpo, Elliot also in shots here. Ryan Gravenberch tackles. Ted and Mengi in tackles. And Robert Kaminski, 9 saves. Just interestingly on Luton, just briefly, in terms of that waiting for that Bournemouth Luton, if Solanke stay out for a month, I've wondered as well about the idea of not even buying a Bournemouth player at all, and on that Wednesday night maybe even buying a Luton player, captain him against Bournemouth, because if the Forest game is on at the weekend as well, there's my extra fixture, effective 3-0, and just chain it straight into perhaps like Jared Bowen on the Sunday, for example, something like that. He might be able to go and punt something like Colton Morris if Adebayo's still out. So there's an alternative to Bournemouth potentially as well there. From the weekend, Villa against Forest, Clement Longley, the only one in passing, 77 completed. It's worth noting that Pau Torres obviously went off at half time, was on 37. So he was running to that rate. His replacement, Callum Chambers, made 34 passes in the second half. Shots here for Lewis, Douglas Luiz, Bailey, Watkins. I bet not many go near Leon Bailey over this period. That could be a really interesting... Luiz. I think Louis, Douglas Luiz a bit
He's
more...
the same price as Declan Rice. If I said to you, Rice or Luiz, who would you buy? Luiz, wouldn't it?
Well, it depends on the fixtures. If Rice has got as much, I'd probably still favour Declan Rice. Because I think, like, Sheffield United, Brentford coming out, he's probably eating passing tiers and tackle tiers and stuff as well.
Yeah.
Douglas Luiz probably gets favouritism over Bailey because he's more likely to get the odd passing tier or a tackle tier or something. Bailey, you'd need it to be the shots. Nicholas Dominguez of Forest in tackles, the only Forest player to pick up a tier. They're not going to be of much interest to people. That said, we might sit here this time next week again if that Luton game's on and look at it and go Brighton away entry point on the Sunday next week, then the Luton away game, and their two fixtures afterwards, a Palace at home and Fulham at home. And again, if someone like Solanke's going to be unavailable, you might suddenly go, I will punt Taiwo Awoniyi for the four games or so, although he's also a doubt for this week. From Brighton against Everton, Jordan Pickford with six saves. Passing tiers for Brighton. Billy Gilmore, 74 passes completed, but a two-game Premier League ban incoming. The third game will obviously be tonight against Wolves in the Cup. Pascal Gross, 99 passes completed and an assist. There were shots here for Dunk and Van Heck, the goal for Dunk, and of course, tier two passing. But 85 for Dunk and Van Heck 90, don't laugh, is lower than I would have expected.
Okay.
Didn't, well, I mean, it's less than Gross, isn't it? Yeah, Gross has actually had the most there, 99. Palace, Burnley, I mean, Palace might have been of interest, but with Newcastle winning last night, that's of no interest. But I'm pleased for Gary Robinson that Joachim Anderson hit tier one passing and got him a nine-pointer because that was obviously his buy from the Everton Palace game. 63 passes completed. There were tackles for Sander Berg and Josh Cullen, who replaced the sent-off Josh Brownhill. James Trafford with a save here. From Manchester United, Fulham, Harry Maguire, 80 passes completed. The only Manchester United player to hit passing tier at the weekend. 31 passes more than Raphael Varane. It was on 49. Garnacho and Fernandes in the shot tiers. Fernandes also with a tackle tier as well, as was Casemiro, despite only playing 53 minutes. Onana and Leno in the saves. Andres Pereira shots here, and he did play a more advanced role at the weekend, but I do think that's possibly specifically to do with Paulinho's suspension. It was obviously a great result for Fulham, considering they were without their talisman. Sasa Lukic did win a tackle tier. From Bournemouth, Manchester City. How many City players hit passing tier, Suj?
I'm going to go three because it was reasonably even.
One.
Oh, wow, okay. I thought it would be low. And that's going to be Diaz or Rodri, one or the other.
Rodri, 82. Aki, Diaz, Akanji and John Stones, who played this wild left centre-back movement to right half space 10 position, all were between 40 and 50 passes. Phil Foden, 50. Bernardo Silva, 53. Foden's had the odd passing tier recently. He's getting into more central areas, right?
Yeah. And they're controlling games, though they have been.
Foden also hit a shot here. I do think because De Bruyne will play at the weekend, I think Foden probably will play a wider role against Manchester United. Haaland also shots here. There was tackled here for Senesi and Smith. And both goalkeepers in the save tier. And I should note that Edison owners have had some nice points recently because I do like to dig him out. Arsenal, Newcastle. How many Arsenal players hit passing here, Serge?
Oh, shit me. Based on that first half, all of them?
So
maybe not. In the whole game.
Mm-hmm. How many Newcastle players hit passing here?
None.
Two.
I'm blown away by that. Is it because they were spread out?
To be honest, I was a bit as well. Sven Botman and Fabian Scher both hit tier one passing. And for Botman, he went off with 20 minutes to go as well. I think a lot to do with game state, right? In terms of Arsenal, I mean, the main body of their brilliant work on Saturday was a lot of high pressing and winning the ball higher rather than control. it was winning the ball high and just that territorial, right? Arsenal was, it basically felt like it was just completely camped in Newcastle's half for the whole first half. So that's why I think. Gabriel, 67, though. Saliba, 47. Just a note on Jakub Kivior, who obviously scored and is playing left back at the moment. He's not picked up any tier at all for Arsenal in these games that he's been playing recently, but he is cheap. And if he's in the team against Sheffield United, you certainly look at it and think it's a minimum 7-pointer. And because it's Sheffield United, he might end up hitting it. 41 passes completed for him. Jorginho, 92 passes completed. Declan Rice, only 46. He played a more advanced role, though.
He was further forward, wasn't he?
He'll probably go deeper again against Sheffield United, I think. And that doesn't necessarily restrict him from attacking returns.
But Sheffield United, they're not going to pose too much of a threat. So I feel like they could do the same thing again. Let Jorginho sit in there and let Rice disrupt.
I think they want an extra body to stay permanently. I think probably Havertz plays a deeper role and Trossard or Jesus would play up front.
He's one Trossard that if he's in the starting lineup, I fancy for a punt. It's very punty, but if you are in that mindset of you want to try and make up ground, then that's the way to do it.
I think I prefer Havertz.
Okay.
Only for the two games.
Yeah. It's a hop on, hop off. But if I was going to do Havertz. It and be different, I would definitely armband whoever I bought out of Havertz or Trossard or whatever.
Don't captain just for the Havertz, though. No,
just for the
that.
Maximum upside.
Don't captain Havertz.
All right.
No.
All right.
Don't get him. If you want to get him for two games, get him as a differential punt. Don't bloody captain him, though. Lloris Karius obviously played in goal for Newcastle, saved here for those who are on Martin Dubravka, which I don't suppose will be many. He was back in goal in the cup last night, recovered from illness. Wolves, Sheffield United. So, Huang, 56.4% of the top 1,000.
Bought him or now own him?
Well, now own him. And it's probably, in the majority of cases, bought him.
Bought him, yeah.
Of which I was one. The winners, of course, were those who went defensively or went with the very cheap Pablo Sarabia, who obviously got the goal. And Sarabia, remarkably, picked up 43 passes. Pedro Neto, 50.
Wow.
50. He basically played Neto. It was a shame for those who might have gambled on him. He basically played left wing back in possessions. So he was just wide all the time. I think that's why he saw a lot of the ball. We mentioned, obviously, João Gomes, as you guys did last week, as a real good alternative. There was potential for a haul here. 48 passes completed. 6 tackles, 1 no.
Okay.
So in terms of par and expectation, I think if you're picking up that number of tackles against a side like Sheffield United, it really does bode well that this is going to continue. Mario Lemina also hit tackle tier. The three Wolves centre-backs all in the tiers. Gomez, 66. Tier 2 for Dawson, 72. And Kilman, 78 passes completed. Jose Sarr, 11-pointer for those who went there. 4 saves. Rian Brewster hit a shot tier for Sheffield United. And Vinicius Souza is also very good in terms of his tackles numbers. 5 tackles, 1. Finally, from West Ham and Brentford, obviously no passing tiers for West Ham players because that just never happens. Emerson with a tackle tier, goal and assist, sorry. Areola, 5 saves completed. Can't buy a shag all though, can you? 4 points. Yeah, Whoop looked great against Bowen's massive
23
times 2 with his hat trick. Norgard, Onyeka, and Reguilon all in tier 2 tackles. Zanka and Norgard also in tier 1 passing. Lewis Potter and Ivan Toney shot tier. That's your data from the weekend, boss.
Lovely jubbly. Some interesting considerations from those as well. Shall we look at the questions on the internet as well to wrap this show?
Yeah.
Okie dokie. Let me move you down on my screen. And then,
he's trying to do 2 things at once.
Gigi Magpie, is it worth a risk in the second team to bring in Son or Salah on Saturday for no fixture gain to try and gain rank?
No.
Straightforward answer, James.
No, I mean, with Son, you can still do that the following Sunday. Again, it's, you know, what you're selling. if you've got a player that's injured, say you're already on Solanke and he's ruled out for a month,
or Jota, you haven't afforded Jota or anything like that.
But chances are, if you had someone like Jota, he's already gone, isn't it, with no fixture last week, and should obviously be. The long-term injury, it's surely that went to the Wolves player or the West Ham or Brentford player or something like that, surely. So now, unless you've got an injury, and who knows, you might pick up something tonight that gives you a headache or a problem, sure, go and get it. Otherwise, particularly with Son, no. And with Mo, I mean, is he even going to play anyway? I don't even know if he's going to play.
Yeah, I don't like it, but I'm just trying to play devil's advocate and find reasons why you might want to do it. But yeah, I'm not a fan.
No, look, there is... I've kind of given an indication that I'm likely to make a lot of transfers over the next 2 to 3 week period. There's enough ways of making gains without having to do something like that. You know, you can make some choices here and go for some players you've got from free for zeros and like most people will completely ignore elsewhere, the likes of Leon Bailey, for example.
Lee wants to know, if Solanke is in the team for Sunday, who out of Watkins, Haaland or Tony makes way for him? Tony, surely.
Nah, because you probably want to catch him against Burnley on March the 16th.
I'm looking at the fixtures in front of me.
You can't tell Haaland because he's playing that day, so there's no sense in that.
I think I'd rather just... I've got Romero. I think I would just go Romero, Fulham away, rather than Tony, if I'm honest with you. I have looked at that. I mean, I sold Tony last week, and that was the one day where he might look okay. But say the Arsenal-Chelsea game's available.
I think the sensible one here would be...
Tony doesn't make sense.
Nah, I think the one to sell here would be Watkins. Think of it like this.
You've got cover for the West Ham game, though.
What's that?
If you've got captaincy cover for the West Ham game.
Yeah, but you could go back to him from Tony or Haaland on that Sunday.
Yeah, true. You get a 3-for-1 or 4-for-1 out of a lot of players during that period.
You go back to Haaland even, rather than say Tony, you could go Watkins against West Ham, single game day captaincy, Wolves at home, 3-for-0, and go back from one of the others to Haaland when City play Arsenal the next day or wait for the Wednesday. So I think it would be Watkins, and you know that you're going to miss the Villa-Tottenham game.
Yeah, you could, but in that time you get 4 games of Watkins. Burnley, Sheffield United, Luton, maybe Wolves.
There's no way I would not have Haaland for Sunday.
For a United game, yeah. Understood.
No
agreed.
Way.
Yeah, if it was a day later, maybe Haaland could be the one because there's a big gap for them. But yeah,
I mean, if you looked at next week and said, here's a different scenario. Let's say he's out for, I don't know, 5-6 days, Solanke, and he's going to miss Sunday and he's back for Sheffield United. Although we'd never recommend a sort of move, but if you went, I really don't fancy Haaland against Liverpool and I want to go into Solanke at home to Sheffield United the day before, like I get that one a lot more. Moving Haaland to Solanke this Sunday would be an absolute no-no for me.
Yeah,
and
agreed.
That exact debate is what I'd warned about all the way through here in all the fantasy formats about the problem people would find if they went for Tony is exactly this sort of thing.
Chris Hermitage, having forgotten to move Everton players to Wolves on Sunday, he's probably grateful that he did that. For the captaincy, where would you move them now? Waiting for Arsenal Monday night, if money allows, or other teams you would target? Well, we mentioned one there, being Bournemouth, depending on availability of players. So that's definitely one. Anyone else you'd look at, James?
No, it probably is this weekend and move it to, your Solanke's, or I'm trying to think of similar price bracket players, Declan Rice, maybe, for example.
Yep.
Subject to what you've got and your setup, you might get stuck into a position where you do end up gambling Kivior for a couple of games. He's definitely not a long term pick anyway, with Zinchenko and Tomiyasu supposedly not far away, but obviously both injury prone. Would you leave it one more for Manchester United away? No, I don't particularly think so. I think it's probably a move on this week, isn't it? I think.
Mr. Gatsby wants to know, James, a floor and a ceiling for your end of season rank for both of us. I'm going to go, I don't think I'll finish worse than top 3K. And I think my ceiling is 999.
Did you say you don't think you'll finish worse than top 3K?
Yeah. And I think I'll finish...
You're more than double that behind at the moment.
I'm 6K now.
You think you'll definitely finish top 3K?
I think I'll be able to get top 3K. Yeah, there, I think there's enough teams between now and 3K.
But I wouldn't put that as your floor, mate. Yeah, it could get worse, 10K. Couldn't it?
Yeah, but I don't think it will. I think between 3K and 1K is where I'm going to finish. I'd like to obviously be closer to the 1K.
I think if I didn't finish in the top 1,000 from here, that would be a bit of a shocker. But I could end up gambling really heavy on a few things over these next 2 weekends. And if it goes badly, I would obviously be at a transfer count that's less than the majority. And then you're clinging for the rest, basically. I think my best ever finish in this is 30th. So I will put my ceiling at about 25th. But I think I'm probably going to struggle to finish top 100 from here.
Chris wants to know, how many single game days will we have between now and the end of the season? Well, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 that are confirmed. There's a handful of days which have got 2 fixtures on only. There's one in, obviously, the FA Cup weekend. We could end up with 1 or 2 more. So that's, let's call it 6 maybe. And then there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 match days. The last day doesn't count. So 4 more match weeks. 1 per week, another 4. So would you say 10 in total? Or with rearranged fixtures, maybe 11 or 12?
Probably more. I think that's one for... Ian Parrin will respond to that tweet and give an estimation, is what I'd say. I'd probably... what did you say? 6 now plus 4 more, did you say?
Yeah.
More than 4 more.
Okay, so 6 plus definitely. 6. Definitely.
I think... I would have thought... every chance from here, 14 to 15, actually, maybe. Because I think you'll have a couple of midweek ones, which might, you know, might be just like just on a Thursday, for example. So I'd have thought there's probably a few left. And the more shocks we might get tonight might increase the number as well, because you'll have less rearranged games for those midweeks. So you might even end up later on where there's only 3 games in like the 34 midweek, and it's like 1 Tuesday, 1 Wednesday, 1 Thursday, for example.
Yeah.
So,
yep. Good.
One more thing, actually, because I meant to cover it. We didn't say, did we, about the 33 fixtures about Villa and Arsenal. This is quite important.
So, this whole UEFA, blah, blah, blah.
Just briefly. Well, no, first thing to say is it can move to the Sunday. Okay. So the Bournemouth and Manchester United fixture, which is the Sunday, and the Arsenal-Villa fixtures that is the Saturday, could swap. That's not a huge problem at this minute in time. And West Ham-Fulham will move from the Saturday to the Sunday on that weekend as well, if obviously West Ham are still in the Europa. Mm-hmm. There is a small, and I mean small, possibility that Arsenal against Villa that weekend could be postponed and not happen at all. That would be in the event that Villa had to play on the Thursday in the Europa League before and Arsenal had to play on the Tuesday in the Champions League afterwards. Would the Premier League force them to play twice in 3 days when actually both teams are out of the FA Cup and therefore that's not necessary because the game can be moved to one of those available midweeks later on in the season? Now, the chances are that the Premier League, if Arsenal and Villa both go through in Europe, the chances are the Premier League would say to UEFA, can you put Arsenal on the Wednesday night? And the chances are it will get accepted, and so it won't be a problem. And therefore, that game would move to the Sunday if Villa are still in Europe and Bournemouth United would move to the Saturday. But in the event that UEFA just went, no, bollocks, we're going to do what we want with this, your league is your problem, then I do think there's a small possibility that the game could get postponed.
Mm.
I would put that probability about 5%. So very, very low, but it's something to be aware of. We would highly likely, I think, know before the end of the March international break. So it's just something maybe to be aware of.
Cool. What do we have to look forward to the rest of the week, James?
Chip Strategy Podcast tomorrow. I would recommend it for the Sky guys, even if they don't play, because there will be stuff in there about projecting those midweeks later in the season, which might prove very, very useful for you. Friday, I'm going to do a stream Friday night at 7 o'clock. So I'm not going to do a deadline stream on Saturday because my body won't get me from my seat here to White Hart Lane in enough time for me to feel comfortable. So I'm going to do a stream Friday night with the usual Deadline Stream graphics. It will go out as an audio as well, sort of 8:30-ish, 9 o'clock on that evening as well.
Okie dokie. Listeners, thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of Planet
Sky FF.
And if you
want to support the show...
Yeah, we're getting there.
You didn't sound like you were.
Medical bills. I'm telling everybody, thank you for listening to the show. Hit the subscribe button if you want to get notified whenever any of that additional content goes live. If you want access to James's fixture planning spreadsheet, essential for Sky, in my opinion. On top of that, you get a Slack community of hundreds of very engaged fantasy managers. You get some prize leagues. You get an additional podcast every day at intermediate tier and above. You get additional video content at advanced tier and above. I'm going on Nico's corner this week. I'm so scared. As well as a whole bunch of other benefits.
I'm more scared about you going on that.
Yeah, tell me about it. Being a patron, it's patreon.com/planetfpl. Anything else, like James?
No, that's it. I think I'll just to say good luck, play it your way, and
stay safe, look after yourselves. Ciao for now.
Cue music, please, man child.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Podcast Network.